What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Guys Who Think They Know Ball. I'm your host, Leon Harrelson, here with my co-host, Davis Troutman. Week 7 of the NFL is upon us, Trout. We're going to be taking y'all through all of our predictions and who we think the big impact players are going to be of each game, their implications, and what it means for the rest of the season. So without further ado, we're going to head over to London, another London game. This will be a really good one. It's a shame I probably won't be able to watch it, but Rams, Jags. Both these teams are 4-2. We have the Rams, in my opinion, a little surprisingly coming in as 3.5 point favorites with a 44.5 point total. Trout, I know you have some takes on this one. Let's go ahead. I'll toss it over to you. You break it down for us.
This game, obviously, we will see a Puka-less Rams, which is going to be a pretty big blow to that offense, him being just the trusted guy for
How
Stafford.
long do you think he's out? In case you
I
guys
think
didn't
it's
see, he
just,
hurt his ankle in the
yeah.
last game.
I think it's just 1 week. They have a bye. They were probably playing a little cautious this week. He should be fine after that, I think. Real quick, I am glad it's the last of the NFL London games for this
I
season.
agree.
It's cool and all, but we didn't have to do it for a full month.
Right.
But that's aside the point. As far as who steps up for the Rams, because I think the Rams do get it done, even against a good Jags team without Puka. And I think that's going to fall on the shoulders of Jordan Whittington. We look at Puka and what he's meant to this offense. He has an 83% catch rate this season with Stafford. Stafford targeting all other wide receivers in that offense, or all other targets in general, 59%. Stafford targeting Davante Adams, 47%. And so you look at who's going to step up. I do think Davante Adams gets an uptick. He's going to have a very productive day, but he's still not that, he doesn't have that, guaranteed connection yet that they're really going to have to find without Puka. And you look at Whittington in his career when targeted by Stafford, he has a 78% catch
That's
rate.
crazy.
They have he kind of just fits perfectly into that Puka light role. So I think we see a big day. His line is like 41 and a half yards,
Think he
three and
does
a
that.
half catches. I think he blows by both of those, maybe gets a touchdown. Definitely a good streamer for 1 week of
Well,
fantasy.
we were talking about before we got started. I think that he is the clearest plug and play that
Yeah.
we've seen so far this year. It's going to be a 1 week rental with Whittington. He's never going to have an established role. He's a decent wide receiver. Tutu Atwell, you may think that he will be the guy that benefits with Puka absence. I do disagree. I think he's been productive this year. I'm
Yeah.
happy for him. He's a talented young wide receiver, but he has a specific role. Whittington, there will be definitely an increased focus from the Jags on Tay, and then Whittington is a talented guy as well. He will certainly produce. So, I mean, we could see, you were just saying, I think we could definitely see something more like 5 catches, 60 yards and a score out of Whittington, rather than only like 30 yards. I think he has a really, really strong game. I'm actually going to go with the Jags, not to just disagree, but like I said, I mean, sometimes with my gut, when I see a line that's surprising, I think we've talked about not being sure that the Jags are legit, but I think you saw last week Brian Thomas Jr. does get going.
Yeah.
We'll see if he can keep it up. I think the biggest thing for me, the defense does have to be able to step up. I think that the total implies that 44 and a half in this game, I would have thought it would be a little bit higher. I mean, we've seen the Rams defense get lit up before too. This game definitely does have sneaky shootout potential. I think on offense though, ETN has looked so good. He continues to look good. He has that backfield under control. They lose Brenton Strange. This will be their second week without him. But if they really do, if Trevor Lawrence and Brian Thomas Jr. can get that connection going, man, and they have the deep ball, I think that opens it up for their other wide receivers. We'd love to see Travis Hunter involved more on offense too, but I do think that they can definitely hang in there. And as they've shown us, if they didn't have that touchdown call back last week with Brian Thomas, they could have won. I'm going with Jags.
I like it.
I also, I mean, just to say too, I think we say Whittington, but obviously Tay, I do think that he drops a nuke. I think he goes out and has a very, very, very good day. All right. This is an interesting one. Maybe. Potentially.
Probably not. Yeah.
Yeah, probably not. But Raiders, Chiefs, guys, 1 o'clock. Chiefs are the biggest favorites of the week. 11.5 point favorites, 45.5 point total. The Raiders, they finally get a win again last week against the Titans. Titans, as everybody knows, they fired their coach after the game. You know, Genty continues to look better. Geno does not. The Raiders are going to be without Brock Bowers. Most likely, he's doubtful. I think they're going to rest him. They've got a bye coming up next week. That'll be three games out. They'll get a bye 4 weeks. That should be enough to recover from that PCL. Jacoby Myers, Joe, I don't know if you saw that too. He's also questionable. He might not play.
I don't know what to believe with this, but I saw a little resurgence in the trade rumors. There's a guy on Twitter who just, he's not an actual source or anything, but he always seems to be right about some things. And he said he's going to get traded. I forget his name, but I believe him.
I mean, maybe that's why.
He might be back.
They would just have him sit out. They don't want to lose him. They know that. I mean, the Raiders, when we had Barry on the podcast, which we need to have him back, but when we had Barry on, we talked about how the Pete Carroll experiment is looking pretty done.
Yeah.
If they can't win as 11.5 point dogs, it's definitely over. Now, if they do, the reason I said it's interesting, I always feel like Max Crosby just has career games against Mahomes. He's getting pressure. He doesn't necessarily have all the sacks, but that's a really, really fun competition to watch. Yeah. That being said, the Chiefs, they get Rashee Rice back this week. They look to get it going. The one thing for them, I mean, they haven't been able to establish the run still. No. Pacheco looks like he's got bricks tied to his feet. Kareem Hunt, he's old.
Yeah.
They refuse to get Rashard Smith involved.
Yeah, and Rashard Smith is someone I wanted to talk about for a second. Yeah. I was so like bought in on he's going to take over this backfield. I don't think that anymore, but I do think they need to get him more involved just as a receiver. He's got, I can pull it up real quick. He's number two among all running backs in the NFL in yards per route run.
Oh, wow.
He has been targeted. The Chiefs, to their credit, the Chiefs do seem to realize like the playmaker that they have in him. When he's on the field, he's targeted on 43% of the routes that he runs. So he's the issue is since week five, Andy Reid, I think, said that we're going to get him more involved. I saw a tweet that since that kind of statement, he's still only got 11% route participation. He's got like 9% snaps and just with the rushing, he's not taking that over 3% carry share.
He's at none, really.
Yeah, and so I do think against in this game that they will have the opportunity to try things out. Maybe this could be a Rashard Smith game. I think we've said it multiple times, and we haven't been right yet. Andy Reid has said it multiple times and he hasn't done it yet, but something to look out for because he is really electric with the ball in his hands. Yeah.
I think for the Raiders, like I said, I mean, look, there's a really far outside chance that they actually even hang in this game. If they do, we're looking for, I mean, I'd love to see, what's his name? Jack
I'd love to
see him actually do something. Second round pick, really hyped up. But it probably will be Trey Tucker just because, I mean, they're going to get down. Genty looks like a really, really, really good prospect, but nobody runs well against this Chiefs defense at all. So it's going to be the Chiefs for me. Definitely for you.
It's the Chiefs.
If there's a huge shock there, I mean, we will definitely break that down, but highly unlikely. All right, going over to another 1 o'clock game, we have the Dolphins and the Browns. Browns, surprisingly, 2.5 point favorites. We have a 35.5 point total. That's a true shootout, Trout.
Yeah, it's not going to be a very fun one.
No, not at all.
Maybe it will.
Look, you're looking like a genius more and more every day with that, calling the Dolphins to have the 1 overall pick. I disagreed strongly at the time, but look, it's not good for either of these two teams, Trout. I'm sure you've seen too. There's even like Jalen Waddle trade rumors.
Yeah.
They've had to come out and say like, we're not shopping him. It wouldn't even make sense for them to trade him. But if they do, they are completely scrapping this franchise.
Yep.
So both teams, they're in a really tough spot. I guess for the Browns, the only bright side is you just hope that against this really poor defense, you hope that Quinshon Judkins, that he can, I get the QJs mixed up, but he can really break out. I mean, everybody's done it against this Dolphins team. And you hope that to have a strong game from Dylan Gabriel as well.
Yeah. This actually is a big game in terms of the implications of my number one draft pick prediction. The Browns are able to pick up a game over the Dolphins, which they're favored to do at home, then we're looking pretty good. I think the Browns defense is, I mean, this is a battle of the Dolphins offense is the one unit that they have that can, you know, be pretty good at times versus the Browns defense. So strength versus strength, the Browns defense is a lot stronger. I think the Browns take care of it. Not much to say. I don't think it's going to be a very interesting game. I think what you said about Judkins and seeing that some of those young guys in the Browns offense try to break out is probably the big story. But I think Cleveland wins at home.
I guess my take, and I don't need to dive into it, I'll just go with the Dolphins. I think that they realize that it's right now or it is completely over. Hopefully, I mean, Tua's had so many problems. He's throwing his teammates under the bus. He's not doing anything right on the field. Hopefully he's able to turn it around. So maybe they actually do get the dub. So I'll take the Dolphins. A game that is also going to probably be not as interesting. We've got the young Drake May versus Cam Ward. The Patriots come in 6.5 point favorites on the road, 42.5 point total. I'm just going to go ahead and say I do think that the Pats get this done, but we were talking about it for like Survivor League perspective. It's kind of a tough week. The Patriots are not necessarily a lock to get it done, though.
No.
And, you know, Vrabel coming back. Maybe the Titans get some juice. Some of the players are, you know, they've got a new head coach. Maybe they have some energy in the locker room and they have a crazy upset against the Pats. I could see that happening. More than likely, though, the Pats move to 5-2, and they are looking really good for their playoff hunt.
Yeah, I mean, big story, like you said, is the face-off between May and Ward. I think you just look at where the Titans' offense is with Ward and still having those growing pains, not having the Patriots have a really underrated kind of collection of targets. Yep. None of them. Diggs has been looking like more of pre-injury Diggs, so that's been huge. But they do have just those group of guys, Booty, Douglas, you know, all those guys that have been kind of building connections with May. Ward is still kind of looking to find that in that offense. So Drake May gets it done against Cam Ward this week. I think this will be, you know, I think these two quarterbacks are going to be like good quarterbacks. Good quarterbacks in the league for a long time. So a fun, you know, opportunity to see them face off for the first time. Yeah. But right now, 2025, Drake May's in the better spot.
Yeah. Titans have mismanaged this season. I think one interesting note, I don't know if you've seen the stats on Ty J Spears. He's looked pretty good when he's in. We know that Tony Pollard, he was getting it done on the ground, not in the receiving game. But when Spears is in, Cam's actually feels confident to be able to dump it down. And that's helped him out a little bit. Titans will be without Calvin Ridley as a hamstring injury. I don't know how long that's going to last. So really the only place the targets can go is we'll see if Elik can get it done. We'll see if Chig Okonkwo, if he can start to establish himself a little bit more in this offense. And then who knows, maybe Tyler Lockett. But it's, I mean, dude, if you hear me listening that out, y'all, that is just such a tough roster to surround your rookie quarterback with. Yep. So enough said there. Here is an interesting one. We have the Jets versus the Panthers. Now, they're in MetLife. The Panthers did not open as favorites. They've moved to 1.5 point favorites with only a 41.5 point total. The Jets, the main reason for that being Garrett Wilson, he's going to miss some time. They weren't for sure that he was, comes back. His knee got hyperextended. It is tweaked. The Panthers find themselves at 500, guys. So 3-3. This is the only point at any season they have been 500 for the first time in over 1,400 days. The last time that happened, Trout, you know who the Panthers' starting quarterback was?
Was it Cam?
It was Cam Newton when he came back and won the game against the Arizona Cardinals back in 2021. So it's a historic season for the Panthers fans. Let me tell you that. The Panthers, they get it done against the Cowboys last week. They looked good. Obviously, the Cowboys defense is pretty bad. This Jets unit had a really good week last week against the Broncos. They looked strong. Not necessarily that the Broncos have the best offense in the league, but the Jets, they definitely held their own. I just think it's just so insane that after hearing, you know, after how poor the Panthers have looked, that they could get to 4-3. With wins not over the worst teams in the league, not any super quality wins, but they haven't been able to win on the road. They've actually only gotten blown out on the road, and they've won every game at home.
Were you telling me what Bryce's record on the road was?
It's 1-17.
Yeah. So
I did say to somebody though, Bryce's record is 1-17 on the road, but it's not. I mean, his record as a starter overall is only like 9-35.
Fair.
So it's not as crazy of a stat when you zoom out. I mean, he hasn't won many games.
That's true.
So
he's never been 3-3 in a season. This is a time to break all those narratives. I do think the Panthers get it done.
The real question in this game, I think, is can the Panthers, for the record, I said this early on. I said that the Panthers, if they're going to, we both said it actually, if the Panthers are going to win football games, it's not putting Bryce in a position that he has to go out right and win the game.
Yeah.
If you can stay close in a game and you can run the football, that opens it up for Bryce to be able to run. They run a lot out of the pistol, play action, get Bryce in motion. Buy him more time. The offensive line has actually looked really good.
Yes.
Pat McAfee actually this week said that he thinks the Panthers have the best O-line in the league.
Wow.
To be fair, they've played the Dolphins and the Cowboys back-to-back weeks. Rico Dowdle, he sets the franchise record for total yards last week. That is a question, Trout. Do you think Rico is going to get the start over Chuba?
I feel like the Panthers have been trying to make it a secret, kind of holding the cards close to their chest. But I don't think anyone's really fallen for it. It has to be Rico, right? You know, I think, you know, maybe it's not a 70-30 split, which
it should
I
be.
Think is in it the best be. Interest of the Panthers offense, looking at how he's been playing. But obviously, they've invested in Chuba. They like him. He is a solid player. You know, a player that's a pretty big presence in that locker room. I wouldn't expect 70-30, but it has to be more than a 50-50 split.
Yeah.
Like Dowdle has to be the starter.
Yeah, I agree. Without question. I think it is a mismanagement. If Chuba comes in and he takes the entire first snap, first drive.
Oh my gosh.
That's a great way to, like we said, that's a great way to start slow. Justin Fields, I think he could have a really good game. The Panthers linebackers have looked a little better, but they are a very, very bad linebacker core. And the Panthers, I think they still only have 4 sacks in the season.
Really?
Yeah, and so Fields got sacked 9 times last week, so that's something to watch. Can the Panthers actually get on track? Can they get sacks? If they can't against this unit, that's not good. The reason I say Fields, look, if these linebackers are unorganized, they're not organized with their spy, Fields, he could have a day running that football. I am going to go with the Panthers, though. I think they get it done. They get to 4-3, and we're not going to say that they're truly in the hunt, but from a win-loss perspective, they will be.
Yeah.
So
crazy.
That is crazy. Really, really happy for the Panthers fans, man. The very few that there are. It's a miraculous season to be 500 starting in week 7. So we have, this is an interesting one. We have the Saints and the Bears. The Bears are 3.5-point favorites, a 45.5-point total. We have Spencer Rattler versus Caleb Williams. So for those of you guys who don't know, Spencer Rattler came into college as he might have been the top ranked quarterback recruit. He went to Oklahoma, had a really, really strong start to his career, loses his job to Caleb Williams at Oklahoma, and then transfers to South Carolina. Caleb goes elsewhere. They're back. the media has made a big talk about this. And I actually do think, I mean, look, Rattler has proved himself. I know they're 1-5. The team's not good. He has proved himself to be a competitor. I actually think that he could. He looks like he could hang around in the league. If there was a quarterback and a team to lose this game, I do think Caleb Williams and the Bears definitely could drop this one.
I think the Bears, you know, they looked a lot better last week.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
They beat a solid Commanders team.
That's not at full health, though.
Right. But we saw, I was completely, completely wrong to say that Jaden Daniels was going to just completely outshine Caleb Williams. And that was, now we see Rattler versus Caleb Williams. They're at Soldier Field. I can't pick against the Bears this week, okay, against the Saints, but so I'll side with Caleb Williams in another little QB matchup this week.
I think, oh man, this is just gross to take this. I'm going to take the Saints. I'm going to take the Saints on the road. I think it's going to be a really close game.
I do agree.
I think that the Saints defense, there's no superstars here. They've done a pretty good job. You know, when their offense can limit the turnovers, they've done a decent enough job. You know, I think that the Bears, to me, Trout, they had that. They can look really good at some points. They just look so bad at other times. If they hadn't had that swift 70-yard kind of busted coverage, missed tackle, they're probably, I think they're going to lose that game against the Commanders last week. So I just think that this is one. I think the Saints are jazzed. I think that they, you know, who knows, man. There's a lot of trade rumors going around here. It could be the last time that we have Olave, Kamara, Shaheed in New Orleans. I think that they are looking to prove something. My call of the game, I think Taysom Hill, he finds the end zone.
I like it. Now, Swift is also questionable. I'm not sure what side of questionable he's on.
He's been questionable the last few weeks,
though. Yeah, that is something to monitor.
I saw a report that he is expected to
play. Okay.
They are expecting DJ Moore back. He had spent a night in the hospital after their game against the Commanders, and they do also expect Swift to play.
Okay.
So, yeah, he should be good to go. He might be limited in some capacity, but I haven't seen that. All right. Another 1 o'clock game, Eagles-Vikings. The Eagles, man, have they lost two in a row?
Yep.
They've lost two in a row, and they should have lost three if they didn't block that kick against the Rams. Listen. We're just a few guys who think they know ball, but we have called this since the beginning. We said that this looks like the Eagles team of 2023. It looks like the team that starts hot. They won a lot of single score games. Things are kind of going their way, but we think things slow down for them. They play too slow. Hurts does not look like he needs to look. They've just got, I mean, this locker room has got to be so tense.
Yes.
Saquon, unfortunately, he looks like he's slowing down a little bit. The good news is for them, the Vikings have Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
And the Vikings don't really look like they've got it all together.
This is another good little QB narrative. Wentz against the Eagles.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Yeah.
Could be a revenge game.
Could be.
Did you see, and I haven't looked into it enough, do you know if this is that JJ has, McCarthy has lost his spot? Or is it that, are you sure about that? This is his fourth week with a low ankle sprain.
I still feel pretty sure that I think it's them being probably more conservative than they need to be as far as injury management. I would just, I'm still would just be so, find it so hard to believe that they're like just intentionally just choosing to start Wentz. From just a
McCarthy is looking QB pretty bad. He's right. Looked pretty bad.
Yes, but you can't invest that much into QB and turn on him that quick.
Well, it's not necessarily
what I think.
I would say it's not necessarily turning on him. Fair. It's saying like, okay,
which guy gives us the best chance to win?
Right now. Sure. And you know he didn't play last year, and they're viewing this more as like his rookie season, and they say, you know, he gets hurt. Let's let him learn from the vet a little bit. I also think, I mean, look, we're recording this on Saturday. We already got to watch the Bengals beat the Steelers. Here's an idea for Carson Wentz. I'm just going to throw it out there. I know, Wentz, you're probably listening to this before you suit up and go into your game. you know, Ja'Marr Chase, he had 23 targets for Joe Flacco. They won the game. He pretty much, you know, T got involved, Jordan Addison. But why don't you try giving Justin Jefferson 15 targets and see what he does?
Why stop at 15?
You know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Why don't you just get Justin Jefferson the football? Continue to throw it to him. I mean, when I was watching that game, it's like, you know, Ja'Marr, Justin Jefferson, same thing, really.
Yeah.
Ja'Marr might be a little better after the catch, but their hands are so insane when you actually watch these guys play. They just come down.
Just throw it to them.
Just throw
it. Watch what happens. I promise it'll be good.
It will work out for you if you force feed Justin Jefferson. It's definitely a winning strategy.
Yeah. Now, on the Eagles side, is like, this might not be the right thing to call it, but this feels almost like a must win
for
the Eagles.
I agree.
They're, like you said, that locker room is tense. There's no way A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are happy. Jalen Hurts is fielding a lot of questions that most Super Bowl champion quarterbacks don't have to answer that this quickly after winning the Lombardi Trophy. They're on the road against a good Vikings team. Honestly,
the Vikings defense, I think, is the question mark. Is, do they get back on track? They haven't been as strong this year. So if that defense looks good, then Eagles could really struggle.
Yeah. I think the Eagles are too competitive, too proud of a team to drop three in a row. They have to realize that this game, if it's not a must win for inside that locker room, it is. I'd also like to point out just a complete different topic real quick. A lot of people gave the Packers slander, Leland being one of them, for wanting to ban the tush push. The Packers were called soft for
by
proposing
me.
This,
definitely
this
by
plan.
Me and the rest of the internet.
It was a full internet thing. Leland just got mixed up with the wrong people and was part of it. But the Eagles have yet to run a tush push that was legally set up. They ran it four straight times last week, which was very annoying. So I just feel a little vindication seeing everyone flip to the other side of this discussion now.
Well, it's not working as well. It's not working as well, which to me is why they probably shouldn't ban it. I think teams are going to be able to step up.
No, they should still ban it.
Okay.
I hate it.
We'll have another episode where we just dive into that. What are things that we think need to change around the league? Eagles side, look, I mean, everybody knows the playmakers. They want Devonta Smith to get more involved. It'd be nice if Jalen Hurts didn't overthrow him for an 80-yard touchdown last week. Maybe could have won the game. But, you know, they want A.J. Brown to get more involved. I think the guy to me that sticks out that stays involved in this offense, because I just don't see Hurts actually being able to put the ball down the field, it continues to be Dallas Goedert. He's truly featured in this offense right now. I think that this, I think he's, look, he gets schemed in the red zone. I think that if he's having a good day, actually, I mean, he had a good game last week and they lost, but he's a guy I think Hurts is going to continue to lean on.
Yeah. I mean, the design plays on the one, like, that's proof we don't need the tush push.
That's true.
The best play in football is the Dallas Goedert shovel.
Apparently.
Yeah.
It scores 100% of the time. So you think the Eagles win? Look, mm-hmm. I'm going to go Eagles as well.
Yeah.
Based on that, I don't think Carson Wentz has his revenge game here. Here's in a very important game for seeding, most likely in the AFC. We have the Colts and the Chargers. This is a 4 o'clock game. The Colts, guys, they are 5-1. We remind you every week, Trow called it. Daniel Jones, he looks actually so good.
Yep.
Chargers, man, they're still hurt. They're not going to get Alt back this week. He's not back yet. They're still missing Amarion Hampton. Quentin Johnson is a true questionable. He has a hamstring injury. Chargers do happen to be 2.5-point favorites. This has a 48.5-point total, one of the higher totals of the week. Trout, what do you think?
I think the Chargers at home win.
Yeah,
probably. You know, I want to say the Colts get up to 6-1 and just keep this thing going. I think it's a good game. I think both offenses are just legitimate offenses, and the Chargers are missing some pieces. So maybe the Colts have the better offense going into this game. And Daniel Jones obviously playing out of his mind, having a career resurgence. Justin Herbert is a different level of quarterback than Daniel Jones is. If that game stays close, then I trust Justin Herbert to get the win a lot more than I trust Daniel Jones. It is interesting. You know, there was some questions about if it was going to be Vidal or if it was going to be Haskins last week. And it was pretty soundly, like, Tamani Vidal was the answer. I wonder if you have any thoughts on that.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out and say it. Tamani Vidal is fool's gold. He is not a strong running back. I don't think that he's a guy they're actually going to be able to lean on. I went back and I watched some of the game. I was at the Panthers game, so I couldn't watch it. But, you know, the Chargers, they almost lost to the Dolphins last week. They end up having a lad bomb that puts them in field goal range. I mean, they had no timeouts. They had 30 seconds left, and they were able to do it. It actually came off of a Haskins block in the backfield and a full sprint. I don't know if you saw the clip. A full sprint all the way down the field, makes a block for Ladd, and Ladd goes for 20 more yards. They kick a field goal, and they win. Vidal, I saw a stat. He had, you know, he got the ball a lot last week. I think that it's because the Dolphins' run defense is just so bad. Yeah. But he did. So he had more than 10 touches, guys, that went for no gain. No, it went for 1 yard or less. That's really bad.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's that strong of a back. I think that, you know, we saw the report last week, Amari Hampton, he's going to miss more than 4 weeks with IR. I still don't really know what that injury is. I guess it's high ankle. It seems like something more. Maybe he broke his ankle and they just haven't told us. It was a really fluky injury. He like hit his toe into the turf and then he was limping. I think that they're going to make a move for a running back. I've said it, you know, it won't be like people are saying Breece Hall to the Chargers. No, they're not going to do that. But this is, I don't think Vidal has a blow up game. If I was going to pick another Charger, we called Ladd last week. I'm going to say Ladd again. I think that Ladd goes for 75 yards, 8 catches.
Yep.
For the Colts, the Chargers do get Khalil Mack back this week, by the way. He's been out. Okay. He had that elbow injury. That's really big for them. And I think that could be that's going to be huge for their defense. I think that Josh Downs is out this week. Could be Michael Pittman. I'm going to go Tyler Warren, though. Tyler Warren, he looks like an absolute stud. This is a strong Chargers defense, but not really good. So I think that Warren has another really strong week.
It's tough with the Downs injury because his usage, his production, his targets, they had all been trending upwards. So it's a bummer to see that setback. But yeah, Warren, you know, Warren was the guy that was originally kind of taking opportunities off of Downs' plate with Downs out. With Downs in, Warren's an incredible player, but I think Warren is the main beneficiary from that.
You say Chargers get it done at home. I'm gonna go with the Chargers.
Okay.
So Giants, Broncos. If we'd said 1 week ago this game wouldn't be close, I would not be surprised. We have the 2-4 Giants versus the 4-2 Broncos. However, the Giants were able to get a really surprising win against the Eagles last week. They dominated the Eagles at home. Now they go on the road against the Broncos, who are 7.5-point home favorites with a really, really low implied total of 40.5 points. Trout, do you think that you think Dart and Scadabo are able to keep it up this week?
Not against this defense.
Yeah, that's what I
think. And it's been kind of funny. If any of you have been looking at Twitter and just social media, there's been some chirping between Broncos defensive players and these Giants. It seems like the Broncos defense and the Broncos in general, like, they recognize the fact that the Giants aren't just some, like, pushover team. You know, Dart and Scadaboo have you know, put some energy into this team.
Yes.
Like a ton. And so, you know, Jonathan Cooper, really good outside or is he outsider?
I don't know.
We might need to cut that. But we're guys that think we know ball. We don't know everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Jonathan Cooper had some things to say on social media about Dart. And but if Dart sucked, Would he feel the need to say stuff like that?
No.
Nick Bonito, this whole defense, Pat Surtain, they're gonna
I mean,
just
dude, they
they're
sacked
just
Justin
better
Fields
than this
nine times last
offense.
week.
Yeah, they're gonna get to Dart.
It's just
But
gonna be
I
how
think
can
this
he
is gonna be a
respond?
close game.
I think it will too. The question is, you know, who really can step up for the Giants if they can't run the football? You know, it's Slayton is going to miss another game. They've got Wandale. They've got Hyatt. But, you know, he's not a super strong talent. They've got Theo Johnson, who actually he's looking a lot better. He wasn't as involved last week, but yeah. It's because they were up so much. So I'll say this. I agree. I think it can be a close game. I do think the Broncos get it done. I think their defense is too good. But if the Giants are able to stay close or even have the lead, something like half, I mean, dude, I think the Giants definitely could get it done on the road.
If the Giants have a fourth quarter lead, they win off pure aura.
I was actually thinking about this. We talked about it early in the season. Not that we didn't say that we weren't buying the Scatterbell breakout. I just think we underestimated how much, like, the guy's work ethic is nuts. I had texted my friends earlier this week, like, if you took his work ethic, his mentality, and put it to any of these young stars, they would be unstoppable. The value that he adds to this team from a mentality perspective is just, it's just crazy.
It's a complete culture shift.
Complete.
And to see that, you know, enacted by two rookies.
Yes.
Pretty fun.
It is fun. No, it is fun. And that's why this league is so great. You have two just crazy dudes in New York. They're 2-4. They've got the team feeling like they're 4-2.
Yeah, it's a 2-4 team. This is the talk of the league.
Yes.
And for a good reason.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. I think that, you know, this is not going to be their year. It does make me really excited about them, though, when they get Malik Nabers back next year. This team could be a team that they turn it around quick. And they could, I mean, it's a tough division, but they could be a team that next year is like, whoa, this offense, they've got, you know, they add a few pieces there with that defense. If they can step up, it could be a solid team.
Yeah.
Trey, I'm going to let you take this one. We've got the Packers and the Cardinals. Just a little bit of information on this game. The Cardinals continue to be banged up on offense. Obviously, without James Conner, without Trey Benson, they'll be starting Michael Carter. Marvin Harrison Jr. left the game in the second quarter last week with a concussion. He is already cleared protocol, so he will be a set to play. Kyler Murray, I got the update earlier this afternoon. He has a midfoot sprain. He missed last week's game. He is actually not expected to play this week. Jacoby Brissett has already been named a starter. So the Packers, they definitely look to go ahead and handle the cards on the road. Jacoby, though, Trout, I will say, I think Kyler would have been a better fit for you guys to kind of handle. You go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, this is what, the second or third time already in the halfway through the year where the Packers have faced a quarterback that wasn't the week one starter. It's definitely been pretty fortunate in that regard. But the Packers, I will say that none of these games that they've played against teams that should have been, quite frankly, completely outmatched by the Packers, none of those games had a result that kind of reflected that. The Packers have beat some of the best teams in football. They've also played down to their opponents. I really don't the Packers are going to win this game. They
should.
So much better than the Cardinals. Brissett obviously is a quality backup. They're a better team with Kyler. Yeah. This isn't going to be, I think this is going to be another game that the Packers get out up in front, look like they're dominating, really are dominating for the first six or so possessions of the game. I almost said six, seven, and I held back. And then the Cardinals will kind of, the Packers will slow down a little bit. Yeah. The Cardinals get back within, you know, distance. But
you got to be able to put them away. You said to me earlier in the week that you guys have struggled to just put away teams.
Yeah.
This is a week. Look, 7.5-point favorites, that's, it's kind of implying that you might not completely put them out.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see you guys win this game by 14 or 17. I think it's totally within the range to do that.
Yeah. I think they cover the spread. It should not be a one possession game. I'm looking for it. Matthew Golden has been
Fantastic.
Kind of having a mini breakout these last few weeks.
No, he's breaking out.
Had really a massive play in the first half of the Packers game last week. And then the clinching conversion on third down, just another bomb from Love. He's really good. They continue to get him involved in the run game a little bit with the designed reverse plays. He's just, you get the ball in his hands. I want to see him get, instead of five touches, let's see eight touches this week. Yeah. See what happens. Because he's special.
Yeah.
Packers take care of it.
I agree. I think for the Cards, though, I think that Trey McBride and I think Marv, they benefit from, we couldn't see it last week with Marv. We did a little bit from Trey McBride. I think both of them, I think actually Michael Wilson's also questionable. So I think both of them have a really strong week playing from behind.
Yeah. But also real quick, last week you said Josh Jacobs was going to, after the slow start to the Packers run offense,
he's
kind of
been
break
amazing.
Out.
Amazing.
Yeah. He went for 150 total yards and two touchdowns. He had called before the game, or someone on mic'd up walked up to him and said, "I'm feeling 120 or something," and two touchdowns, and it was pretty spot on.
Yeah, we were spot on with Josh Jacobs. We were also spot on with Rico Dowdle and George Pickens.
We're spot on everyone.
Yeah, we think we know ball. you know, you listen every week, you listen to this, and you might see a few breakouts that we call. This is a really important game. So we've got the Cowboys and the Commanders. The Commanders are 3-3 after a tough loss last week to the Bears. The Cowboys are 2-3-1 after a brutal loss to the Carolina Panthers away last week. The Cowboys are now favored by 1.5 with the highest total of the week, 54.5. This is going to be a shootout.
Yep.
I don't anticipate either team playing defense. The interesting thing is for the the Commanders, Debo has already declared out. So, Commanders, you are going to be watching Luke McCaffrey as your wide receiver one and Jalen Lane as your wide receiver two. If there was a game that Zach Ertz was going to completely explode, it is this game. So I think that, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say, I think that, you know, the Cowboys getting CD back, George Pickens looks awesome.
Yeah.
I think that you're going to watch a healthy Javonte Williams, a healthy CD Lamb, George Pickens, Jake Ferguson. I think that they look like a really, really good offense. It's just, can this defense get any stops? I think that they get a few this week just because of how banged up the Commanders are, and I think that they take it.
Yeah, I agree. Cowboys, they, no one can stop the Cowboys. This offense was disgusting, unstoppable at times without CeeDee Lamb. Now you add a top, at least top
five,
four, top five wide receiver back into the mix, and it's going to be just insane to watch. This team or this game, like you said, huge implications. Yep. These are two teams that probably thought that they were fighting for nothing more than a wild card. Then, you know, maybe they wouldn't have said that themselves, but the expectations were the Eagles run away with it. The Eagles look extremely vulnerable right now. And suddenly these are two teams that this game puts them in a much better opportunity to win the division outright. You know, we had Barry on the other week, and he said he thought not only were the Eagles not going to win, but that the Cowboys, who probably entered the season as a distant third in most people's power rankings in that division, would win the division. And they win this week. They're up to 3-3-1. Obviously, the setback against the Panthers last week was pretty rough
for
them.
It's a bad beat for them.
But they had CeeDee in the mix. They get even more dangerous. If that defense can just step
they
it
just
up,
need
like
four stops in the entire game.
Four might even be pushing it. Like,
not getting any stops right now.
They're gonna score 30 points every single game they play.
If Bill Kroski Merritt cannot get it going this week for the Commanders, I am officially out on him, by the way.
That's not an unreasonable thing to say.
I think that last week, I think that it's fair to say that he blew the game for them. Yeah, I know they credited Jaden Daniels with the final fumble. It was a bit of a tough handoff, but I'm going two fumbles for Bill. Again, we've talked about it. We think that they need to make an ad at running back. They haven't. Against this Cowboys defense, he should be able to go for 100 yards. His line is actually in the high 80s, Trout.
Are you serious?
So they're saying that he should get on track. I just don't know, man. I don't know if he's I don't know if he can. I guess I'm gonna say no, because I think the I think the Cowboys might get up early. And if they do, watch out.
Yeah.
Because they can actually run the football this year. And that's what I think the difference is.
Yep.
Like you were just saying, I'll just add on. And the Commanders, if they win this game, they're tied for first. If the Eagles lose, which they definitely could, they'll be tied for first. And the Cowboys, if they win, they'll only be, and the Eagles lose, they'll only be half a game back.
Yep.
So that's, I mean, this is huge. This is one of those games they're going to look back on. They're going to say the team that misses the playoffs likely is going to say, dang, if we had only just won that game,
yep,
things would be completely different. At the 8 o'clock game on Sunday night, we have the Falcons versus the 49ers. Brock Purdy is still out. Ricky Pearsall, he's out. I think Juwan Jennings, he's got 5 broken ribs, a high and a low ankle sprain. If he plays, he's going to be limited. He was limited last week. There's no way he got better from playing. McCaffrey continues his historic run. I hope that's not the case. I think he is an unbelievable player, future Hall of Famer. But man, he is getting so many touches. The good news is for 49ers,
yep,
George Kittle is back this week. Tungus did a really good job filling in while he was out, but George Kittle has the opportunity to completely feast in this offense, and also a vulnerable Falcons defense as well.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if there's been really anything said about any potential limitations or snap count on Kittle. Is he a full go?
He is a full go.
I wouldn't expect really anything different with a guy like Kittle. He seems like if you're going to let him play, that he's just going to.
Well, did you see what he said though? He said that his quote, I completely tore my hamstring in week one. There's no way he actually completely tore his hamstring. You can't be back in 6 weeks.
If someone was back in 6 weeks from that, it probably would be Kittle.
There would be no reason to rush him back, though.
No, from a team's perspective.
I bet you Kittle
is banging on the door in week three to the coach's office asking to play. There. Yeah.
What do you think about the Falcons, man? So the 49ers, they're 2.5-point favorites. This is a 47.5-point total. Falcons, they looked really good last week.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that. Drake London, he could have had 2 touchdowns. He stepped out on the one. Won me my fantasy game. Thank you, Drake. They looked really good. What do you think? You think that Michael Penix was able to come back from that bye and that he's got right, or that Penix will struggle against this banged up 49ers defense?
Yeah, I mean, this is an offense that we didn't think was going to be able to move the ball. Even against the Bills defense, has been pretty mediocre. And they just went out, and Drake London has been incredible these last few weeks. Bijan Robinson might be the best running back in football. If he's not, he's top.
He looked really good last
year.
So yeah. It's probably McCaffrey. We have probably the best two running backs in football going head to head, and they're going to be relied on heavily if this game is actually as close as Vegas says it's going to be.
Yeah. So the Falcons, they've surprised me a lot, and I still don't know completely how I want to view them. I think the Niners getting Kittle back is just such a big kind of jolt of energy for that team.
Definitely.
Everything that Kittle provides, just from pass catching, blocking, just the mentality. I think that's huge. I think the fact that they're in the Bay Area is big for them too. I do think the Niners win.
I agree.
I think Mac Jones adds another win to his belt this year.
Hey man, he's looked good. If he was healthy, he would get traded. Or maybe they just don't want to trade him.
I think at this point in the year where you have a quarterback that's hurt, and a guy that can win for you, I think you get more value out of just holding him on your team. And, you know, he'll walk at some point. I don't. It was a 2-year contract,
right?
Two-year,
$7 million deal. What a steal.
Yeah. So they'll probably keep him for the full duration of the contract and then just – send him off. Hope he gets a chance somewhere else and be
He's looking like he will get a chance somewhere else right now. I mean, he looks really good. I agree. I think Matt keeps it up. You know, like we said, this is limited offensive weapons, but he's continued to get it done even without them. They lost last week, but it's, you know, they had an unlucky interception to start the game. It's also a strong Bucs team. It's away. So I'm not going to hold that against them. I think the Falcons, man, Kyle Pitts, where you at, man?
Yeah.
Where you at? Let's if Falcons gonna win, Kyle Pitts, we want you. Get involved. Look, I hope the Falcons don't win, because the Panthers the Panthers would be we'd be in the hunt somehow for first in the division if the Bucs could just lose. Yeah. But yeah, I'm going with 49ers as well.
One more thing, real quick. The Falcons have an opportunity. I mean, that offense looked very, very, you know, competent recently. Mm-hmm. The Niners had a huge blow last week
with
Fred Warner.
Yeah.
So this is a defense that isn't the 49ers defense that we know right now. Really hope Fred Warner can recover from that. But
they say there's an upside chance that he can return for the playoffs.
Really?
I don't actually think that's true, though. It looked like a Chris Godwin type injury.
It did not look good.
No. So, yeah, I mean, I really do hope Fred comes all the way back.
Yeah.
Probably will be next year, though. Okay. Dadgummit. We've got another doubleheader Monday night.
Yep.
Looks like I won't be watching the 10 o'clock game. It's the Texans Seahawks. But the first game on Monday night, we've got the Bucks Lions. This is going to be a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Detroit. Detroit, 6.5 point favorites, 52.5 point total. It's a really high total, but I think to be expected. Lions defense is banged up. Both have top five potential offenses. Now, I will say the Bucks. Look, they're missing a lot of stars on offense. There is a real chance that they will be without Bucky Irving. Bucky's already out. He's already declared out.
Yep.
Chris Godwin, I think he's going to be out.
Re-aggravated. He looks like he's on the wrong side of questionable.
Yeah, I think he might even be doubtful. Mike Evans Trout, he practiced earlier in the week.
It's a game time decision.
Official?
Officially, as of a couple hours ago. I think they said Godwin and Evans will both be game time decisions.
Yeah, I don't think Godwin's going to go.
Yeah.
I'd be
surprised.
They need one of them to go.
Yeah.
To win this game, they need one of them to go. Emeka Ibuka hurts his hamstring last week. Missed most of the game. It's looking like he could also potentially play. But they've got their three wide receivers who are all really good. All really, really talented players. But they're all hurt. They could be without all three. They actually could also have all three. So it's going to be a tough one to predict. That being said, I'm going to guess that they have one of those three guys. If I had to guess, it's going to be Mike. Mike has been known to push it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know he still has his eye on
it. He needs that thousand.
He needs it. And so he's going to push it, man. He did the same thing last year. So we'll see. But I'm going to go with the Lions.
Yeah. Mike Evans, if he's out there and if he's kind of the guy that they have available to them, the Lions, most of y'all have seen Brian Branch was suspended for a week for throwing a punch after the game.
What a stupid decision that was.
I'd like to note that the kind of hearing officer or whatever for that was Jordy Nelson.
You know he's getting suspended.
When I saw that, I was very excited.
I just can't believe that he appealed it and he said, dude, you just punched a dude in the face after the game. You're getting suspended.
Yeah, everyone's been like, oh, of course Jordy kept him suspended. Like
He could have got more than one game.
Bro, you could have had Calvin Johnson or some former Lion be the hearing guy. They would have still suspended him.
Yeah, you can't do that.
So Mike Evans, if he's the guy, goes deep. You got a backup safety back there. Maybe we can see a Mike Evans bomb. That would go a long way as far as flight to 1K. Yeah. But yeah, the Lions are, I'd say, honestly, one of two teams, the Lions and the Chiefs. The Lions are on the wrong end of this, where when one of those two teams like hits a little bump and they need to kind of bounce back and make a statement, I will never bet against that team to step up against in a big game.
Yeah.
So we saw that the Chiefs needed to win. Mahomes went out and took care of business against Detroit. This week it's Detroit's turn to bounce back, keep from dropping a 4-3. They take care of things against the Buccaneers at Ford Field.
Yeah, I agree. I think so as well. It is also a super important one for your division.
Yep.
Packers are hot on their heels. Schedule's a little bit easier. They definitely beat the Cards, and you know, Lions, they can't really afford to drop to 4-3 unless I mean, they can because they're the Lions, but that would definitely be ideal. Let's go ahead and get to 5-2. Don't worry about, don't drop a game like this against another team that you could see in the playoffs, right, with the Bucs. I mean, the Bucs are going to win the division, so probably might match up at some point. But this is one of those where you're looking to avoid the wild card. Lions, this is one you take care of at home. So here's another one. I just want to point out, this is the last game of the week. We have the Texans and Seahawks. Texans 2-3. They've won 2 in a row. This is another must win. I mean, most games for them at this point are going to be must win. You're looking at the wild card for the AFC. You know that the Ravens are going to get hot. Who knows what the Bengals could do with Joe Flacco. They've got a few others that are outside contenders here. But, you know, the Colts are so far ahead with the division that if they're going to have any chance of this division, they've got to win games. Now, for the Seahawks, being 4-2, we talked about the Rams earlier. They've got a tough one against the Jags. We've talked about the 49ers. They also have one that they could drop. And then there's the Seahawks. All of these teams are 4-2. It's very possible that, you know, we see two of these teams as wild card. But in order to do that, they have to take care of games that are not inside their division. So this is a really crucial one for the Seahawks. Seahawks are 3.5-point favorites. Surprisingly low total of 41.5. I think that's probably estimated because the Texans' D is somewhat strong. That being said, I maintain that I do not think that the Texans are that strong of a team. And I think going on the road to the 12th man in Seattle,
yep,
it's going to be too much to ask. I think the Seahawks get it done.
Yeah, I agree. The Seahawks get things done. Would like to see more out of that run game.
Yep.
That they had.
Yep.
They obviously got the job done. Handled business against the Jags last week. Wasn't a very pretty game for them. They won 20-12. Yeah. JSN just had another blow up.
He's looking
game.
Like a top five receiver, Trout.
Yeah. But you look at Kenneth Walker had 10 for 34. Charbonnet had 12 for 24. That's a 50-50 split essentially in that backfield where neither of them have been looking very good recently.
They've been identified as a running back trade candidate, actually, which is crazy. Did you see the chain rumor earlier this week?
Yeah.
There's no way that would happen.
I saw a tweet that said if a chain gets traded to the Seahawks, I'm quitting fantasy football. And it was by one of those like fantasy football quote unquote experts that's his life, which I almost agree with. But yeah, the answer isn't going out and bringing in another guy. It's
figuring out
you got two extremely, honestly, very talented running backs. Kenneth Walker obviously being the most talented in my opinion, but Charbonnet is a talented back too. You just got to figure things out. Help out Darnold. Darnold's been very good, helping you stay in games, win games. But support the guy a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
You're way too talented. I do think they kind of right the ship a little bit this week. Just as an offense overall, take care of business against the Texans. That'll be a 10 o'clock game Eastern time. They're doing the 3-hour gap.
I'm not staying up till 1 and watching the finish of that. I'll watch the highlights. But, yeah, so Texans, we didn't really talk about them, but
I don't really like talking about the Texans. Man. They're so frustrating.
Yeah, they are frustrating. The one thing coming out of the bye, they could get a little bit of a pop. The guy that I have said, and I'm actually going to stand by it, man. I think that they've said that they like him as a receiving back. I think that he gets – let's watch Woody Marks.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on Woody Marks. He might get a pop. You know, if Chubb's looking slow, Woody gets the hot hand. He could be a reason that this offense could get going. But, you know, other than that, it's Nico Collins all day. They're going to have to, if they're going to win, he's got to blow up. He's got to continue to prove that he is a true alpha.
Yep.
He got so much hype over these last two seasons. I need Nico to show up a little bit more.
Yeah. And I can confirm this guy is putting his money where his mouth is with Woody Marks. I tried to trade for him in fantasy and
I won't let him go.
Apparently Woody Marks was the reason why our trade fell through. So he does
I think he's got a chance.
I think he's a good back too.
I think he's got a chance. All right. This has been a lot of fun. We thank you guys for being here. This has been another episode of Guys Who Think They Know Ball. Good luck on Sunday, and we'll catch you in our recap. Have a good one. Peace.